Good morning, church. It is good to see you. There is going to be a table eventually, and then that paper will get off the ground. It's good. In what is arguably the best Disney movie in all of time and space, Mulan. Big Hero 6 is good, Frozen was good, but like Mulan's probably the best. There's this song, and it's called Reflections. And when I was a kid, thank you so much, wham. When I was a kid, dance was really big in my home, okay? My sister could dance, my mom could dance. I can like cut a rug if you put out a dance floor, but I'm not like choreographed like plie, please, no. That's just not who I am. And they could dance, and my mom ran a dance team, and she would take them around to all of these different things to dance, like Girl Scout powwows, or like Walmart, and like everywhere on earth, but I couldn't dance. So she'd be like, Alana, go dance with them. And she'd be like, Cassie, sit down. And I'd be like, okay, you can pretend that that didn't hurt, but like, you both know it did. And so she decided one day that she would find kind of my like place to be. And she decided that for everything we went to, I would come along and I would sing the song from Mulan, Reflection. Kind of like Mason Ramsey. If you don't know who Mason Ramsey is, clicker, don't fail me now. Yes, lit. So that's Mason Ramsey. He's the yodeling Walmart kid. And so he went to Walmart and he yodeled one day. Well, he went for like many days, but one day he went and now he has a record deal. I do not, but that's how my mom would drag me around. She'd be like, oh, you're gonna do this, it's gonna be fine. But she would only let me sing one song and it was Reflections. No Colors of the Wind, mm-mm, put that down. Mm. No Mariah Carey, you ain't Mariah, put that down. Just Reflections. You know what I'm, you wanna hear me sing it? Ellery says yes, okay. Who is that girl I see staring straight back at me? Why is my reflection someone I don't know? Okay, I'm gonna stop there. Go ahead. That's my kids! Thanks, guys! Oh my gosh! Okay, all right, we need to talk about God. We need to talk about God, okay. So she would drag me around everywhere and have me sing that song, and I'm pretty sure that that song is literally like flame broiled or like engraved on my soul because I sing it so much. And that's the part in the movie where, you know, Mulan's walking away from the matchmaker. She comes home, she's crying, and nothing is waterproof at the time. So she's just like streaming tears and streaming makeup. She's come home from the matchmaker. Sometimes I go home from the matchmaker. It's called Pastor Anita's office. Anyway, and she comes home and she's been told like, we ain't got no man for you. I'm sorry, you ain't gonna get a man. This is how this works for you. Sorry, this is your life. And she's crying because she wants to make her father proud. And she looks in the mirror and she's like, who is this that I see? And she kind of steps out of her situation and she starts blaming and shaming herself. Like, who is this girl I see? Like, that girl is never gonna amount to anything. And you and I kind of do the same thing when things don't go our way and things, you know, they happen that we don't like or you do something wrong. Like, and you talk to yourself and you blame and shame yourself, kind of that like, how could you do this again? We've talked about this. You're better than this. You're supposed to be a child of God. And we take reflection, period, and we make it a negative thing. But it's not meant to be a negative thing. Let's go back to eighth grade, Cassie. Okay, you know what? Everybody has that like black hole in their memory. It's like everything was great, and then I got to eighth grade, and then everything was great again, you know? You just have that one story, that one time in life that's, or multiple times in life where it's just like, if I could take the fabric of my life and cut that piece out, I'd rather have a hole, honestly, I'm not gonna lie. For me, that was eighth grade. I hadn't glowed up yet. Now, if you're wondering, Cassie, what does glow up mean? I found the formal definition. Nope, thanks. Two, as if overnight, go from average to incredible. Maybe it's looks. Maybe you play a sport, and then you glow up, and now you're better at the sport. I did not glow up in terms of looks until my junior year in college, because that's when I got my braces off. And then everyone was like, oh, she's so pretty. You seem nice. But like 2 weeks ago, I was like, oh. You know, it happens to all of us. So eighth grade me, that is where my black hole lives. That is what I would cut out of the tapestry of my life. Because I wasn't cute. You can't find pictures because I wasn't allowed to have a Facebook. But trust me when I say I was not cute. And I was madly in love with this kid named Anthony. Oh, you hear that? Oh, it sounds like, oh, this is gonna... I was madly in love with this kid, and I've been pining after him for like a full year now. And like, he rode my bus, so I knew where he lived. It's fine. His sister was nice enough to be my friend. So I was like, you seem nice. Let's be friends. Is this really about you or your brother? Who knows? It's a mystery. It's not a mystery. And I would pine and pine and pine after this kid, and he rode my bus. And so when Billy would get off the bus, the kid who sat next to him, I would sit in Billy's seat, and we would talk about his day, because I'm a good Christian who loves God and wants people to feel connected. I'm just, if you're a parent in the room and you hear your kids say that, now you have to give them the eye, like, mm-hmm. And I went on a trip to see my cousin graduate, and I come back, and one of my best friends has told this young man of my affections. Right? Heartbreak! Horrible! Who does that? If you're under the sound of my voice and you ever do that ever again after hearing this, like, you and I need to have words. Anyway, like, it was terrible. So I come back, and the first thing apparently that he said was, I know, because I'm not subtle at all. And he's like, yeah, I know, but she's not hot enough for me. And I, like, it was, oh my gosh, and it tore me in half. And so I spent the rest of eighth grade trying to recuperate socially because this kid had, like, torn my, like, life in half. He tore my heart in half. My reputation for being a, like, decently cool person was just gone because I knew where he lived. So, like, I'd go by sometimes. It was bad. And it was really, really bad. And eighth grade for me is kind of like a bruise. So, you know, like, when you get a bruise on your arm, if you run over it, like, even though it takes, like, 1 inch in diameter, your whole arm starts to hurt. That's what eighth grade was for me. And you and I both have those moments. That how could I ever date that guy? How could I ever let that guy in my life or that girl in my life? Maybe if you're a graduate in the room, you're like, Cassie, the last 4 years have been one big bruise of high school or college or early in our marriage or recently in our marriage or leading up to trying to have kids and trying to do all of these things and hearing these opinions of everyone else. And it starts circling around this bruise and it gets bigger and bigger. And it's like a black hole because it sucks everything up. And it's like, if I could just get rid of this one thing, and it makes us start to hate reflecting. I don't want to look back because I might have to see that. I might have to think about, Cassie, you have no idea what I've gone through and what I've experienced. My life and the tapestry therein, you could not imagine the pain I have seen and the things that I have done and what my bruises look like. And I understand that 100%. But today, I would submit to you that reflection is one of the most powerful things you can do for your walk with God. Psalm 23, verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is not immune, and God is not unaware of the things that have occurred in your life. He is fully capable and fully knowledgeable of everything that has happened, everything you have done, everything you don't talk about. But he says of you that goodness and mercy will follow you all of the days of the rest of your life. Not remorse, not regret, not pain, not depression, not anxiety, not fear, but goodness and mercy shall follow you all of the days of your life. And I love that wording because it's not goodness and mercy are set out for me when I become good enough. And it's not goodness and mercy are taunting me because I'm not there yet. It's a promise that goodness and mercy are following you all the days of your life. Someone came to me after a first service and they were like, I heard that once and it sounds kind of like puppies. Like you know how like you walk away from a puppy, puppies right at your heels? You try to go up the stairs, puppies up the stairs. You go back down the stairs, puppies down the stairs. They're right there. And you and I need to take initiative. And honestly, take hold of our faith and ask God to reveal to us the goodness and mercy that has been following us, specifically in those black holes and in those bruises. It's not like I closed the door on that, Cassie. That season of my life is over. I never want to look back. I'm moving ahead. I'm moving forward. I don't want to look back. I understand that. But when we look back, it informs our looking ahead. Because when you see that goodness and mercy there in that situation, in the darkest hour, it informs that should I get to the darkest hour again, goodness and mercy will find me there. So today, we're going to talk about reflection, looking back, looking around, and how you look. I'm not going to tell you how to dress, but we are going to talk about how you look. So, going back to eighth grade, middle school is officially, and science says this, not Cassie, middle school is officially the most influential time in a human being's life outside of ages 3 to 5. And if you've ever had a toddler, you know that 3 to 5 is a big jump. That's a big deal. And I was in love with this kid in the eighth grade. That's middle school. That's the most influential time. And I have the opportunity now as a 23-year-old woman to look back and see goodness and mercy in that situation for God not giving me what I wanted, what I pined after, what I honestly prayed for. I was in the eighth grade. I was like, I can pray for anything I want. You can pray for anything you want. And it's what I wanted so much, but the Lord had the mercy and the shielding around me to not give me what I wanted and to allow me to experience that, to know and believe and move forward that God is the ruler of my relationships in all things. And if God had allowed that young man to get that close to me in eighth grade, I have no idea who I'd be today. I don't know where I'd be. That's a vulnerable time. To be that close to me and have that much influence on me that I can categorize an entire year of my life by one human being, that's goodness and that's mercy. So let's talk about looking around. When we talk about looking around, we have to talk about resigning. I'm not talking about like jobs. I'm not talking about quitting. Quitting and resigning are very different. Resigning is walking away when it's your time. Quitting is, I'm done here, I quit. So there are many ways that we resign, and we specifically resign when we can't see God in something. You know those seasons where you're like, man, everything, Cassie, you say goodness and mercy are following. They got lost. Need a GPS. Getting a little far here. I don't know what you're talking about. And we resign from things because it's like, I can't see God in this with my eyes, so God can't be in this. If I can't see it, if I can't feel it, it's not real. That's what we think. I think that about a lot of things. Aliens? Can't see them? And you and I choose to resign from things when we feel like we don't have the hope or the strength in our own selves. And there are three kind of ways that we resign. There's this. This is me a year and a month ago. Those are my two best friends, Carrie and Stacy. And this is my college graduation. Laughing, smiling. There were a lot of tears right before that picture was taken. And sometimes we resign like this, and it's like, Cassie, goodness and mercy aren't following. They are holding my hands, and we are headed down the yellow brick road. This is great. Goodness and mercy, they are right here. Pals, homies, we're in this together. And it's like, all right, cool. I'm cool to walk away from this. I'm cool to go into my next season. I'm cool to take on my Monday or my challenge. Or Cassie, you keep talking about marriage. I'm cool to take on my marriage. Goodness and mercy, this is the best part of my life right now. I'm good to keep moving forward. Sometimes we resign like this. This was taken the same day. And it's that like, yeah, goodness and mercy. That's what the Bible says, yeah? You sure? Can you cite that? Can you give me a page number? Because it's like, I believe it. Goodness and mercy, you're gonna be here, but I can't, you talk about not seeing it, I don't see it. And sometimes you resign like this. This is Winter Advance 2K18. Just a few months ago, where your rapscallion children duct taped me to a pole. No! It's untradition. Tradition canceled. Sorry. And I kicked and I screamed, and this is it. I am not doing this. I was like, I am a lady. I will not be duct taped to anything. No. And they put me in, and one of my leaders tricked me and was like, let us pray. And then slammed me down the chair, take me to this pole, and I'm there, and I'm screaming, and nobody's listening. And I'm like, I need help. This is wrong. And my leaders have turned against me. Sometimes you feel like people in your life turn against you. Like, do you not see the calamity that is ensuing in my life right now? Are you not here with me? Aren't we supposed to be brothers and sisters? What are you doing? And sometimes we kick and scream for all the wrong things. Sometimes it's, God, I know that I can be happy again if I work at it. I know that I can get through this if I work hard enough. And I will kick and I will scream and I will fight and I don't want this and I don't want to resign. I don't want to walk away from that right now. God, I'm happy where I am. I am comfortable. And God is pulling us forward into a new season, and we resign completely unwillingly. Teeth bared, knuckles white, I am not going anywhere. And there are some things we have to fight for, but when the Lord is leading you into something new, into a new challenge, you ain't gonna win. You can fight as hard as you like, but you will end up something like this. Because a lot of times, we're fighting for the wrong thing. And I understand, like, Cassie, you're 23. How can you keep referencing marriage? How can you talk about that? Because my parents have made their marriage very public to me and my sister. They have made us infinitely aware of the things that go on because they want us to be fully prepared for every good work. So knowing, Cassie, I am fighting for this marriage right now. I am fighting for the will of God in my life. I will not resign. I am not walking away from this. But at the same time, fighting themselves because the flesh wants what the flesh wants. I want to be free. I want to be happy. I want to do me. I want to do whatever it is that I want to do. And sometimes God is pulling us into a season that feels like captivity, but is actually blessing. It's not about what we see or what we feel. It's about the potential that your God sees for the areas of your life that you cannot look around and see where growth would be right now. But hindsight is 20/20. And when you see it, seeing it in its full glory, seeing everything rising up and growing in the way that the Lord intended it, that you could have never dreamed that it would grow, that is when we get, oh man, we get washed over in that moment of, God, thank you. That moment of true gratefulness for not giving me what I wanted, for not allowing me to have my way, but your will being done in my life because it is ultimately good. Let's take a moment to talk about the last year of my life. This day, last year, I was announced to all of you as the new youth director. It's been 1 year. Happy anniversary, I love you. and this day, within this month last year, I saw those two girls, my best friends, for the last time. Probably not ever, but it was the last time that we were in the same state at the same time. Specifically in the same room. This time last year, I packed up everything I owned, which doesn't sound like much, but I moved 2 weeks ago. It's way too much stuff. I need to downsize a lot. I packed up everything I owned, and I embarked on a journey that I knew the Lord was calling me to, that I knew the Lord was in. Whether I could see it or not, His presence was way too evident, and I knew that He had called me to this season. This time last year, I said goodbye to the friends and the friend group that I've had since the sixth grade. And I packed up and I said, this is it. I'm following Jesus. And they've supported me 100%. And this time last year, I moved away from my mom. She feels that sometimes. So she comes and visits a lot, but you know. And I knew that, you know, this is it. I'm about to get my dream job. I just graduated college and I have a job, period. I can pay my bills. Like, this is it. Awesome. I'm about to embark on the adult version of Easy Street. You know, I'm taking a left, smooth sailing lane. Everything's gonna be perfect. And those two girls in that picture, I met them my first day of college, and we stayed friends through those 4 years, and even now. We had this thing called Start Teams that was like, make a friend. So we did. And we ended up living in the same apartment. We laughed together, we cried together, and it was like, all right, Lord. If you did it once, you'll do it again. I'm gonna see it. I'm gonna move to Virginia and make a best friend the first day I get there. It's gonna be great. And then I'll work at this church, and I'd wanted to be a youth pastor or a minister to students and to people for years and years. This is it. This is the culmination of all of my dreams and my work. This is it. I am about to step into my Disney moment. I'm glowing up. This is it. I'd apply, and then I'd move here, and then within, you know, a year and a half, I'd meet my husband, and then we'd have four beautiful children, so everyone would have a friend, and then, you know, hey, what happens after that? Who knows? It's perfect. My life's gonna be great. And God had another plan. Now, don't get me wrong. I would not trade the last year of my life for the world and everything in it. I would not trade the discipleship that I've had the pleasure of being a part of. I would not trade the team that I have the pleasure of leading and the honor of the God that I serve for everything on the face of planet Earth. But Easy Street is not what I experienced. I had my plan. I was ready. And specifically my first 6 months. Last 6 months, we're taking a left. Easy Street's coming. I can see it. Maybe not. And it's been difficult. And lonely and scary sometimes, and sometimes it's a little sad, especially when my parents like pulled away and it was like, whoa, I don't go with you. But you know who is with me? My God. The Lord has taken the last year of my life, and where I saw brokenness, especially in myself, where I saw fear, where I saw loneliness and dry ground, the Lord saw a perfect opportunity to form our relationship, no longer out of obligation or loyalty to my parents, but out of genuine need and love for me. Some of the darkest places that you're ever going to see in your life are fertile ground to grow in your relationship with Him. That's what mercy's done for me, you know? I love that song so much, and they were like, yeah, we'll do it, and I was like, yes. And when we look around, and we choose to see with new eyes, and we step into that new perspective of, not only is there goodness and mercy following me, when I move forward, they will continue to follow me all of the days of my life. This is not it. This is not the end. This is not where I stop. This might just be your beginning. Today could be your glow up. So we talked about looking back. We've talked about looking around with fresh eyes for what the Lord could do with whatever it is that you have. And we've got to talk about how you look. Pastor Sean's been talking through Philippians 4, and I absolutely love that passage. And every time he talks about it, he gets to verse 6, and I'm like, you know, some verses just make you raise your hand. It's just like, yes, me, give me that one. I want that one. I want all of it. I want it in its fullness. He would get to verse 6 and it'd be, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. And it's one of those verses that's kind of like, why did you put that there? Like, that doesn't belong there. But it absolutely belongs there, because the next verse is, do not be anxious about everything. That is exactly the opposite. Let your reasonableness, let your faith come out and shine for all around you. Don't get scared, because you know who you serve. And I'm not telling you not to feel today, but I am telling you that you and I today, we need to glow up and start shining that faith, shining that light that says, I know who I am, I know whose I am, and He said of me in His word that even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I have nothing to fear because He is with me. And then later it says, if He is with me, then who can be against me? What do I have to fear? And that's kind of where, you know, sight comes in, where feelings comes in. Because it's like, what can man do to me? You can see man. And a lot of times we don't have enemies that, like, take human form. But it's like, what can depression do to me? What can anxiety do to me? What can brokenness in this marriage do to me? What can loss do to me? Because if He is with me and He is for me, then none of those things stand a chance against me. It says later in the Bible, and it talks about not depending on things that are seen, but fully having faith in things that are unseen, because what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. And that's goodness and mercy. You know, it just amazes me that it says that it follows you. Because you don't often like look back to see what's going on behind you when you're walking down your road. It's like, it's what is unseen that is eternal. What is following me, what is with me, what is carrying me on is eternal and almighty and powerful. So surely I can brave the storm. Surely I can walk through this season. Surely there is nothing that I cannot get through with my God, and I have no reason to be anxious. And it's not for myself. Can I tell you something kind of harsh today? Life's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about youth. It's not about people on a stage. Life is 150% about Jesus. And life is received when it's given away. Life is received best when it's given away. So when you're in that moment and your head is down and it's like, okay, this is it. Now I have to take on the world. Now I carry everything in my own hands. And you choose to allow the Lord to not only lift your burden, but carry you on. It's not just for yourself so you can get through it. It's so that you can testify to somebody that if he did it for me, he can do it for you. And if he did it once, he will do it again. That he is infinitely good. So you and I need to glow up today. As the team comes out, we're going to go back into that, what mercy did for me. Because honestly, in worship, it's completely about Jesus. And that puts me in my place a lot of times. That I am only a person and there's only so many things that I can accomplish. But with Jesus, there is nothing that cannot be done. You know that verse that talks about, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Yes. That's not about moving buildings. That's not about running faster than a speeding bullet. That's about surviving the ebb and flow that is life. So surely I can get through the valley of the shadow of death. And I know that I can do it because it is him that gives me strength. But when I worship and when I acknowledge what God has done for me, I put me in my place as a follower, someone who has the opportunity to be reasonable, to be of good cheer, to be of peace, because the fighter is going before me and goodness and mercy are following me. So I have nothing to fear. There is nothing that will come in your life or mine. Seasons of life, the ebb and flow, marriage, singleness. I'm 23 and we keep wondering, when's a husband gonna come? It doesn't matter because I know that my King is taking care of my relationships. He's taking care of my future and my life and the children that I will have someday and the children that I get to influence today. Before you, you see a tapestry of the good work of the Lord. Cassie's done all that Cassie can do. Cassie's had long nights and shed a lot of tears and prayed a lot of prayers. But there is absolutely nothing in these children's lives that I can take credit for. It is all my God. So we're going to go back into this song. And I want you to join me in taking the opportunity of releasing your freedom, of truly glowing up and allowing that light to shine and to say, God, your mercy has done things for me and you will do it again. And I will walk in your ways and I will trust you. Would you join me in standing as we go into this song? I just want to pray over you and we're going to worship him and we're going to give him all that we have because that is what he deserves. God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to walk in step with you, to walk behind you, to be hemmed in by you, behind and before, to be known by you and cared for and loved by you. God, we pray that in this moment you would move in power and you would move in freedom. God, set your children free. Amen.